Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church.
Come on, give it up for God. His house is so good. I was riding my bicycle down a street called Flagler in West Palm Beach along the highway, and there was this guy, and he was sitting on a bucket, and he had his fishing pole in the water, and he was just as happy as could be. He was sitting there fishing, and he was smiling, and I rode past, and he smiled and said, "Good morning." And I thought, what in the world's good about this morning? What's your problem? I got a lot of stuff to do today. How busy are you? What is your deal? And I went just a little bit, and I felt the Lord say, "Go back. That guy's got something to teach you." I'm like, "Really?" So I went back to a guy who was sitting on a bucket, had no tackle box, but he had tackled something that I hadn't tackled. I think I actually got a picture of this guy, just part of him. I don't want to divulge on exactly who he is, but there he is. He's got sitting on a bucket. His fish container is an old chlorine bucket, so he didn't spend a bunch of money. He's just chilling. And when I was going back, I felt the Lord telling me. He said, "You know, if that was you," he said, "you'd be sitting there and you'd have a fancy chair that you couldn't afford. You'd have two cup holders over here and an umbrella here. You'd have a fish app to find where the fish is at. Then you'd get distracted and you'd just be Max." Instead, this guy's just like, "Sitting in the morning, son. I'll be sitting when evening comes, watching the ships roll in. Then I'll watch them when they roll out again." he was chilling. And I went back and I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm fishing." How many of y'all know? He's thinking, "Boy, you're a brainiac." It's called fishing. They've been doing it a long time, homie. And he just proceeded to talk about how good life was. How that, you know, he used to work, but now he doesn't have to work that much. And then, you know, if you think about it, if you go to the grocery store and you spend $60 on a bunch of fish, or you could just go out here and fish, and, you know, I just love fishing. I thought, man, this guy has tackled this stress situation without a tackle box. I want you to go with me in the scriptures. It says this: "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Casting down. Everybody shout, casting down.
Casting down.
You know, a lot of times we worry about things that are never going to happen. We stress ourselves out instead of casting it away from us and saying, "You know what? I'm not worried about that. I'm casting my cares upon God, for He cares for me." 1 Peter 5:7 says that. Survey says, "Casting all of your cares upon Him, for He cares for you." Now, when God's caring for you, there's nobody in the world can care for you like God can care for you. Can I get an amen in here today? I mean, when God's caring for you, you're going to know you done been cared for. Mm-hmm. Cast it. But the problem is, you're probably like me. We cast it away, and then we go, "Well, hang on a minute. I need to see about that. I wonder how that's going to turn out." Well, if God said cast it upon Him, then we have to let it go. We got to let it drop. We can't worry ourselves sick about something that probably isn't going to happen. Have you ever done this? Have you worried yourself to the point to where you literally were sick to your stomach? Come on, raise your hand up in here. It worries me that some of you aren't worried. I'm worried. You've worried yourself sick about something that's probably not going to happen. Well, what if Hillary gets it? What if Bernie gets it? What if Trump gets it? What if Cruz gets it? Oh, you know what? We're not worried about the world system. We have a Father who provides all of our needs according to His riches. Come on, somebody. In glory by Christ Jesus. We trust the Lord. So when you trust God, it's kind of humbling. If you continue to read that next verse, it says, "Therefore, humble yourselves, demote yourself, lower yourself in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God." Demote yourself. Demote yourself from what? Why don't you go home today and demote yourself from being the boss of you? Remember when you were a little kid and you're like, "You're not the boss of me." Come on, remember that? "You're not the boss of me." Let's all shout that. "You're not the boss of me." You might need to look in the mirror today and go, "You're not the boss of me." God is the boss of me. But when we don't demote ourselves, we don't cast away the problem in the care, we still think that we've got to have it on the hook and we got to reel in the solution because, after all, this is too big for God to do by himself because you know he's busy. It's an election year. So we cast it away, but then we continue to pull it up because we think we're God, and we're not. We can't figure this out. When we demote ourselves, we humble ourselves by saying, God, I know that you're bigger than I am. I know that you're smarter than I am. Some of you, this looks like news. I'm here to tell you, God's bigger than you are, and God is smarter than you are. You're not God. So, demote ourselves. What's that look like? Humbling yourself. What's that look like? We had some work done. I think I talked about this the last time I preached here a couple weeks ago when I was telling you that we had some work done at our condo, and we had a contractor, which to me, a contractor stands for a con with a tractor. And the guy started in December, and here it was the end of March, and he hadn't finished, and Nicole was getting upset about it, and I was getting upset about it. And then finally I decided, I'm going to take charge of this job site. I'm going to finish this. I'm going to become the general contractor. And I got on Craigslist, and I solved our problem. I met a guy named Frank. Frank came down. He came out, solved all the problem. Meanwhile, I still have the con with the tractor who still is acting like we're infringing on his territory. He's aggravated. And then I solved it, solved the problem. And then this week I saw him in the elevator. And he proceeded, this contractor, to just kind of beat me up verbally about, you know, can't believe that I didn't, you know, allow him to finish the job. And I'm like, I gave you December, January, and February, and March. And anybody ever saved on Sunday morning, but sometimes by Friday, it gets thin. I'm coming after you, you guys. I thought you were going to help me. That's another reason why I like the first service. You guys are so responsive. The 9 o'clock crowd's always the people who, you guys got up early, you read the paper, you've had four cups of coffee, you went everywhere. You're like, yeah, it's all like Donkey Kong. The 11 o'clock, still like, oh my God, I'm going back to bed for a couple hours. So again, we get to thinking, you know, that we got it together and we don't. And so the guy was really pressing me on the elevator. And then he said these words, which I'd already made up my mind. I'm going to pay him the $5,000 that we technically don't owe him, but I'm going to pay him. And so, but I'm going to pay him at the same rate that he did the work. Come on. I know it ain't right. I know Joel wouldn't tell you. I don't know. But to me, I felt like that's what was right. He hoses people all the time. I didn't look him up on the Better Business Bureau until I got hosed, but he needs to be straightened out. There's a whole track record of this guy. We're going to fix his wagon. We're going to slow his roll. So I get off the elevator. He's still going after me, and he said, well, I'm going to come down and pick up my check today. And I said, I am going to pay you at the same rate that you did the job, December, January, February, and March. So over the next 4 months, you're going to get the equal amounts until you're paid. I got on the elevator and the Lord said, no, you're not going to do that. I thought, we're not? I thought I was the boss of me. I thought I had a handle. He goes, no. It's puzzling to you in the puzzle series you're going to be preaching. It's puzzling, but you're going to miss a big piece of your puzzle because you're going to be stressed out, you're going to be aggravated, and you're going to make him pay. But in reality, he's making you pay because you're going to spend the next 4 months thinking about how you're setting him straight. You're not going to fix him. You got to let it go. Come on now. You got to sit down on your bucket before you kick the bucket and figure this out. So then I went upstairs, saw Nicole. I said, how much we owe that guy? She told me. I said, what do you think we ought to do? She said, well, we need to pay him. Do you know who we are? We have to pay him. I go, that's just wrong to be hosed because of who we are. Now, God just told me what we're going to do. But I'm still not sure I'm going to do what he told me to do. Come on, somebody ought to help me right now. I said, a lot of times we know what to do, but like little rebellious children, we decide we ain't going to, we might do it, we might not do it. Oh, Lord, it's quiet up in here today. I know I'm preaching good. I can tell by the guilty look you got. You're like, I don't want to tell Bob I'm sorry.
I cannot possibly tell Shaquita that I was wrong. What in the world? God's dealing with you right now because he wants you to have peace that passes all understanding. He wants you to get your peace of peace, and he doesn't want the, come on, somebody ought to help me right now. The Prince of Peace is trying to tell you that you can get this together if you can let it go. Demote yourself. Let's put it up one more time. Demote yourself. Humble yourself. Demote yourself. This is the Amplified. Lower yourselves in your own estimation. Who am I to think that I know what this guy needs to, or how it needs to be handled? So Nicole proceeded to tell me what we need to do. And then I said, because what, you know, she said and what the Lord said, I didn't tell her even about the conversation that I just told you about that I had with the guy, because she'd be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you said that to that guy. What if he was recording that conversation? What did people say? I'm like, I'd be like, I don't care. I'm going to tell the whole church about it. Because you can't tell on me, because I'll tell on me before you tell on me, because there's a lot of sermons I got to tell stuff. And I don't know your junk, so I got to bring my junk to the forefront, which makes you feel better about your junk, because you're screwed up as I'm screwed up, or you wouldn't have picked this church. You're jacked up, and I know it. Come on, give it up for yourself, being just jacked up. I encourage you, because you're like, he's a preacher, and I'm not half that cracked out. Okay? Demote yourself. So Nicole said, you know, we got to pay him. And so I said, yeah, I know we do. I was just checking to see what you thought. Right. Yeah, I'm walking in love. Love never fails. Hallelujah. But deep down, I was like, you dirty rascal. Now watch this. Demote yourself. Humble yourself. Therefore, humble yourself. Don't wait for somebody else to humble you. Humble yourself. So then watch this. Instead of enjoying what that guy was enjoying. I got a peaceful, easy feeling. I know you won't let me down. Listen to your songs, having a good time. Instead, I'm like, that dirty rascal. 5 hours later, I was thinking about that guy again. I thought, you know what? I bet you he's going to think that I paid him. Well, I told him I wasn't going to pay him, and I bet he's going to think that Nicole's the boss of me. I bet he's going to think she made me pay. Am I the only one with these problems? Come on, anybody going to leave me alone? Your pastor, love me. Somebody, don't leave me alone. Anybody ever have feelings like that? I was like, I don't want them to be thinking of my woman telling me what to do. I'm a man. I run things around my house, the vacuum, the dishwasher, and my mouth. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Demote yourself. Let's go, class. Let's put it up. Everybody needs to see it. Therefore, humble yourselves. Demote yourself. Lower yourselves in your own estimation that he may exalt you. So I don't get ahead by making that guy pay. I get ahead by forgiving him. And if nothing else, it worked out as a wonderful illustration for you today to realize that you got to forgive people. I just heard the Lord say, you get to forgive people. We get to forgive people. What if we die early because we're so maxed out about all them people that done me wrong? We're so aggravated. We're stressed out. We're like, I got heart palpitations. Boom, you're dead. You can't forgive anybody now because you're dead. Because you're stressed out, maxed out. It's puzzling to me what my problem is. It's right before your eye. It's right here, PD. I think the missing piece of your puzzle is you're stressed out about many things instead of casting all your cares and your anxieties on him once and for all, demoting yourself, choose to forgive them, and don't try to actually make them pay when he didn't make you pay. And if he forgave you the big debt, then you, come on somebody, y'all getting this right now, aren't you? Then you gotta let it go. Next scripture. Everybody shout, let it go. Next verse says, be well balanced. Temperate, sober-minded. That means don't be drunk, intoxicated with, I'm going to make them pay. These people are crazy. Even just driving down the road, you can be so stressed out. Because have you ever noticed that when you're driving, that everybody's a bad driver but you?
It is weird that all of us great drivers meet every week together. Isn't it weird? I was driving down the road the other day. Some guy's flying up the fast lane, in and out, driving typically like I do. But when I saw him, I thought, that moron's going to kill somebody. When I do it, I'm going to try it over here. I said, when I do it, I'm just driving. When they do it, they're a moron. Come on, raise your hand up in here. You stressed out all the time, maxed out all the time. Don't be drunk in your mind. Be sober-minded. The verse says, be vigilant, cautious at all times. Driving, at work, at home, at all times. Be cautious at when? For that enemy of yours, the devil, that enemy, he roams about seeking whom he may devour. You need to say, no, you may not. You're not going to devour my marriage. You're not going to devour my mind. I'm not going to allow for one second the enemy to get the best of me and me to start thinking negative thoughts all the time. I'm not going to be stressed out. I'm going to be forgiven. I'm going to be blessed. I'm going to let it drop. I'm going to let it go. I forgive him. I'm just chilling. Instead, we're stressed out when the Prince of Peace is on the inside of us. Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says, for unto us a child was born, unto us a son was given, and the government of the world would be on his shoulders. And it says that he is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Stress, the Prince of Anxiety. The Prince of what?
Peace.
Doesn't say he has peace. He said he is the Prince of Peace. So you and I need to get our peace of peace. And the only way that we get our peace is to demote ourselves, elevate God, forgive other people, and say, I count it not a wrong done. I release them now as an act of my own will. I'm just going to live my life chilling, happy. You've got your whole life to figure it out. Now, I'm not saying over here that I agree with everything the guy was doing on the bucket, because I do believe that you need to be motivated. To move forward, you got to be motivated. But there is a difference between being motivated and driven. You ought to write that down. Driven is, I got to go. I got to work. So you're at work thinking about, I need to be home because my kids need me. Now you're with your kids. I need to be at work because I got. And so really, you're never anywhere. You just. So you need to be motivated. Everybody shout, be motivated.
Be motivated.
But don't be driven. Because if you're driven, you'll be like, man, these kids drove me crazy. Well, it wasn't a very far drive, was it? Just a short little drive. My husband drives me crazy. Well, you know, it's just a short little trip right around the corner. We should not live our lives so close to the ragged edge that we're just about, that's just all I can take. Then you're no fun. You've heard the statement, all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. So the Bible said, be cautious at all times, all times. Let's all shout that again. What?
All
times and everywhere, because the devil tries to steal, kill, and destroy your life. So that means a lot of people, they go home so they can stop being nice. You're at the grocery store, some total stranger hits you with a cart, and they say, oh, I'm sorry. And you go, oh, no problem, no problem. Your wife hits you, you dipstick, what in the world? You can't drive, you drive just like your mama. Now you've offended her. Now you made her mad. Now, well, home's just where I go to let my hair down. I just like to be me. Well, we don't really want the real you. We want the refined, saved, public version of you. Because the out-of-control version of you, ain't nobody liking that. You never know which side's going to help you. You know, every once in a while, it's this side. Sometimes it's that side. Anybody ever feel that way? You just go home and you're like, I'm just tired of being nice to everybody. I can just be me around here. You might be being you alone. You come home and your kids run away. Your husband runs to the other room. When everybody else came in, the dog was like, you came in, the dog was like, rawr! Come on, you might be blazing the wrong trail. The Bible said, in all situations, at all times, be careful, because that attitude, he left me. No, he didn't leave you. He left your attitude.
She left me. No, she didn't leave you. She left your attitude because you think that you're the boss of her. You think that, no, we got to work out our own salvation. I realized a long time ago I couldn't fix Nicole. She realized she couldn't fix me. My first marriage, there's been two of those. First I got married, people always come up to me in the call and they're like, oh man, this can't. I would like to meet the first lady. And I'm like, well, the first lady left me, this is the second lady. You can't really meet the first lady. But I got married and I was stressed out, not chilling. I was trying to fix everything. I was trying to make my marriage look like what my parents modeled for me, which was not a good, healthy situation. So then once we got divorced and it was over, when I met Nicole, I just told her right up front, I'm not going to try to change you. You're an adult. You do what you do. I do what I do. I'm not going to try to change you. People don't want to be changed. And she told me, she said, I'm not going to try to change you except your hair and that crazy looking outfit you got. I'm not talking about people having input over what you wear or something that gets them excited or it gets them mad. But I'm just talking about trying to change all the time. If you married Bob and Bob always liked to hunt and fish, then Bob's probably always going to want to hunt and fish. But you tried to change Bob. Now Bob resents you. And it's puzzling to you because I just don't know how in the world he can just sit there for hours. How could he do that? I don't want to hurt your feelings. How could he just sit there like that? It's the same way he can live with you. I don't know. That hurt my feelings. I'm not here to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just saying every once in a while, I have to have a meeting with me because it's puzzling to me. Well, some people don't like me. What do you mean I hurt their feelings? I told them the truth. Nicole goes, well, it really wasn't that you told them the truth. It's the way you told them. Well, I was tired. I feel like you guys have the same problem I do right now. I feel like, come on, raise your hand if you got the same problem. So it's puzzling to me sometimes. I will say things that now not only my peace is gone, but the person's peace is gone, when really God wants us to live with the Prince of Peace and enjoy peace. St. John 14:27, it says this. It says, my peace I leave with you. My own peace I now bequeath to you. This sounds like a reading of a will. Now, not as the world gives to you, do I give to you. Do not let. Everybody shout, do not let. Do not let. One more time, what? Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourself to be fearful. Don't permit it. So I have to say, hang on a minute. I look at myself in the mirror sometimes, and I have to look at myself in the mirror and go, you stop it. You will not treat other people that way. You will not act this way. You are out of control. And I'm talking to me. You say, that's weird. That helps me sometimes. Sometimes I need to humble myself, change my attitude, and nobody can talk to me the way I talk to me. In fact, sometimes you talk to yourself bad. You ever talk to yourself bad? You dummy. Look at you did. You just stupid. You just act like that all the time. You just never straighten that way. Sometimes you look yourself in the mirror. You say, I don't understand that. That's the difference between your spirit and your flesh. The Bible said the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. St. Paul said, the thing that I don't want to do, I do, and the thing that I do is what I don't want to do. I don't understand. He said, there's this war going on. There's this struggle, this inner turmoil. What he didn't understand, and he helped us learn later, was that our spirit is in line with God. Our spirit is in line with peace, but our physical body is out of control. So you have to look at yourself in the mirror before anybody else does and say, today's the day you're going to straighten out. Today's the day you're going to live in peace. Today's the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be exceedingly glad therein. I'm not going to allow my marriage to be destroyed, my mind to be destroyed, my money to be destroyed because I'm out of control. I'm telling you, most of our marital problems can be solved with just being nice. A lot of problems can be solved. You just went home today and said, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. And they might not even be ready to hear that you're sorry. They might say, yeah, you sure are sorry. But you continue to walk in love instead of saying, ah, look, I can't. No, you've sowed a lot of discord in your relationship, and it doesn't heal overnight. You got to sow a lot of love. And eventually you sow a lot of love, it won't be puzzling anymore. You will reel in a good marriage once again, because if you take these same habits into the next relationships, corporately, maritally, with your kids, you're going to have the same problem because you're still going to be there. Until we reel in some peace and go, the piece of the puzzle that I'm missing is I'm not being nice like I should. I'm too upset. I don't really have it mastered. Before I kick the bucket, it shouldn't be all work, and I'm never getting ahead. I need to chill and go, hang on a minute. It's not about the stuff that I possess. It's about what possesses me. And I need to just chill, be motivated, but not driven. I'm going to go home and be nice. Tomorrow when I go to work, I'm not going to look at that person and think, man, I can't stand them. They took my job. They took my position. I don't like them. I'm not going to make them pay. Because when you get on the elevator like I did, you need to listen to the voice inside that said, you're going to pay the guy. And subsequently, I did. I actually wrote him a check that had money in it to cover it. We have two checkbooks. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I wanted to write the one that I knew would bounce. But I wrote in the one out of the good one. I have a question to ask you before we wrap this up. 30 minutes goes by so fast. And the question that you have to ask yourself and I have to ask myself today is not will they change, but will I change? In light of my past experiences, my future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing to do? Let it go, let it drop. My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, but as I give. I am the Prince of Peace, and I will give you peace that passes all understanding. I will give you the piece of the puzzle that you will be able to enjoy the rest of your life, that the rest of your life can be the best of your life. When you let them go, it'll stop cancer, it'll stop disease, it'll stop ulcers, it'll stop divorce, it'll stop kids and dogs from running from you. Love, God's love, never fails. Every head bowed and every eye closed, nobody looking around. I haven't asked a question to ask of you online as well as here today. How many of y'all would raise your hand and say, Pastor, I didn't even know it, but this is what I needed today. Raise your hand. Let God see it. Let the people sitting next to you see it. Come on. I'm not seeing as many hands as I think that need to be up. Pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have forgiven me. You have blessed me with all spiritual blessing. And from this moment forward, I'm going to let it go. I'm going to forgive. I'm going to slow things down a little. Before I kick the bucket, I'm going to sit on this bucket. I'm going to cast my cares into the water. And I'm going to reel in peace, joy, and tranquility. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Woo! Shout hallelujah.
For more information about Pastor David's teaching and ministry, visit davidcrank.com. We open up.